My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are crazy for Daisy, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about currently planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and currently your plans are all about poo and you've never even been to 100 Acre Wood. Well, then this definitely is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we talk food with Jen.
I am all about the breakfast. So I went and had breakfast in different places this time.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, everything you need to know to have the most magical time. And make sure you keep in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you've got any questions when it comes to planning or rearranging your trip, then do get in touch. I'll do my best to answer them every week on the podcast. We answer one of your questions. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. This week, Lucy is interested in staying on property, but just in case the situation doesn't get better and we have to wear masks in the parks, we'd like to spend a little bit more time around the pools. Which resort should we be looking at for the best pools? If you listen back to quite a few other episodes of this podcast, The Most Magical Podcast on Earth, then you will know a lot of people do like to stay at Art of Animation. Art of Animation has a great pool because you can hear music underwater. So that's a good one to consider. If you're pushing the budget a little bit more, one of my favourite resorts is the Yacht and Beach Club. They have a great pool. It's the biggest pool on property, actually, because it's two hotels, but they're like one big hotel, really. And they do share the pool between them, and they've got like a lazy river that goes between them. So Yacht and Beach Club, if you want to push the boat out, check out Art of Animation. Again, is another great pool. If you've got any pool recommendations, or if you've got any questions, or if you would like to be a podcast guest like this week's podcast guest Jen, get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Jen is our podcast guest this week, so go on, tell us then, what is it about Disney World that you love it so much?
I love it because when you go, you are just completely separate from everything else. Like, I did this trip last year and everything was thought of for you. So it's just taking you away from all the stresses and strains of regular life. You don't need to think about how you're going to get anywhere. All you need to think about is what ride you're going on and what you're going to eat, which is usually my priority when I'm at Disney, is planning the food and the snacks normally.
Well, we'll talk about your favourite rides and talk about your favourite snacks very soon. But we were actually there at the same time last year in November, weren't we?
We were. Like, the odds of it, of managing to be there at this same point, because it was just between that Halloween and Christmas crossover, wasn't it?
Spot.
I think you were there a little bit earlier than me, so you caught some of the Halloween stuff, didn't you?
That's right. I went on Halloween and then we did the first Christmas party, because we're at the same Christmas party, weren't we? We were trying to meet up, but like,
it's just chaos.
I'm in line for this. Yeah, it was chaos, but I bet you're glad you managed to squeeze in a trip last year before the chaos that is 2020.
Absolutely. Like, I look at it now and I feel so sorry for people that all their trips have been cancelled. Like, I know TUI's pulled them all to the end of the year. And honestly, I don't think I could have timed it better. I don't want to sound smug, but I'm so glad that I did it, because I did it as a solo trip. So, of course, I had these weeks and months beforehand dithering, thinking, oh, do I do it? And now I'm so happy, like, particularly seeing as a lot of the Christmas stuff isn't going to happen, the Halloween stuff isn't going to happen. I'm very glad I managed it.
So let's talk about going to Walt Disney World on your own then. How was that?
I loved it. It was genuinely the best thing I've ever done, because I've been to Florida, I think, 3 or 4 times. I went a couple of times as a child, and then I went twice as an adult, both times with now ex-boyfriends. And the previous times I went, the guys just didn't want to do anything. So the first time, they wanted to stay in the hotel room and watch a high profile court case on TV when you're in Florida. Yep. And the second one didn't want to go on any rides, which meant I was always queuing up in the single rider line, which made me realise I'd pretty much done a solo trip anyway, because you were spending so much time by yourself in the queue. But it also meant that you had the added benefit of, I could decide where I wanted to eat, I could decide where I wanted to go. And it was entirely up to me what I wanted to do. And I loved every minute of it. I did 10 days in total. And this time I only did Disney, because I don't drive. I knew it would end up adding on a lot of money to get Ubers or to get the taxis back and forth from Universal. So I stayed at Disney, I stayed at All Star Sports and just got the buses everywhere. And to be able to do what I wanted when I wanted, if I wanted to go on the same ride multiple times, I could. And it was honestly just liberating. I just recommend it to everybody if you can.
Was there any parts of it you did find a bit awkward? Maybe like in restaurants or anything, or were you pretty cool with it all?
No, I'm fairly cool with it because of what I do for a living. I end up travelling over the country. I work on radio, so I ended up staying in hotels all the time. I'm used to eating and going out by myself because I'm used to staying at places for work. And obviously it also helps that I will talk to anyone and everyone. And Americans always want to talk to you. And I'm covered in tattoos as well. So they would always be a conversation starter. And then I would happily chat to people in the queue. People would see that you're by yourself and they will ask you questions, particularly when you go out for dinner or if you're at the character interactions, then the cast members and everyone will make a fuss of you and talk to you. So there were no points really that I felt awkward. Even on the buses, on the way there and on the way back, people will have a chat with you. And as soon as they hear the English accent, of course, they want to know about you and where you've been. And yeah, it was really good.
You find that anyway, even if you go with a group of people, you always end up speaking to the people that you've not gone on holiday with.
Yeah.
Because when you're at Disney, you've got that massive thing in common that you love Disney. So you don't need an icebreaker. You're straight in with the conversation anyway, aren't you?
You know, so you see people with the badges on, like what they're celebrating and what they're doing. And again, I've got a couple of Disney tattoos. So, of course, the kids will see that and ask questions. And then you get talking. And the thing is, everyone's in a good mood most of the time. There's always someone that's going to be very tired on the way home, probably. But at Disney, it's different. And you end up talking to people that you may not talk to at other times in your life. But it was definitely worth doing. I would recommend it to anybody.
I want to know more about your Disney tattoos. What have you got and where? Can you say?
I can. The main one I've got on the back of my left arm, I have got the pig and the chicken from Moana. I've got Pua and Hei Hei. So Hei Hei has stood on his head. And when I did the Very Merry Christmas Party, you can meet Moana. And there are these photos of me with Moana where she's seen it and then singing the songs and everything else. And I look happier than most of the children there, to be honest. and then others I've got are just like silly cartoon ones, but that's the main Disney one.
Let's talk about some of your favourite Walt Disney World things. Now, you said you've been about three or four times. Have you got a one standout favourite memory from all your trips?
So I've been to Disneyland Paris. I must have been about seven or eight times now. And then Florida, I would say, is four or five. I think the best one was the trip last time. Doing the Christmas party, meeting Jack and Sally, that was a highlight. I was like the overgrown goth waiting to meet them. And I just looked so happy in all of the photos because they were looking at the tattoos and saying, oh, look, Sally, she stitched herself together with the designs. And I always base my trips around food. So I am always so excited to go and try all the different snacks and try all the different food stuff. And also going to Florida this time and getting to go on the Rock and Roller Coaster, because obviously that's gone from Paris now. And yeah. I love that ride. So any chance to go on that is always a winner. But I did the Christmas parties and things, and I did a couple of the dessert parties, which were an experience as well. And if you can do them, I would recommend them. It was definitely worth doing.
If they come back, which I'm sure they will.
Fingers crossed. Hope
maybe,
so.
Maybe. Let's talk about food then, if you're a foodie. Usually ask for your favourite restaurant. I'm going to allow you, because you're a foodie, I'm going to allow you three.
Ooh.
Your top three, Ooh. But no more than three, Jen. Three favourite. I want to know where we should be eating, what we should be eating.
Decisions. Now, a lot of the things that I have, because I shouldn't have dairy. Now, since I've gone back from Disney, I can't have any at all. So fortunately, I was able to have some while I was there. So I was going anywhere that did the bread pudding. So I was there when Epcot had all of the international stalls mm-hmm. with all the different food and drink. And there was one that did this incredible chocolate Mexican bread pudding with little edible pansies and flowers on it. But in terms of the restaurants, I am all about the breakfast. So I went and had breakfast in different places this time. The best ones for me, I went and had breakfast at Boma. I got one of the minivans over to, I forgot, what was it, Animal Kingdom Lodge. Went there. Then I also had the breakfast at Garden Grill at Epcot, which is a character breakfast where it's Chip and Dale and the others are going around. And there's this incredible like baked cinnamon bun that they make.
Yes.
And the breakfast, you get all the Mickey waffles and everything else. And they do a vegan version of the Mickey waffles and things as well. So they are very good at catering to the requirements. For a meal, particularly if you're vegan, vegetarian, the Sunshine Seasons at Epcot have got so many good options. I had a vegan korma there, and you get like a, if you had the quick service dining plan, which I had, you can get a beer with it as well. So I had like this grapefruit wheat beer, which normally would be $10 by itself. So having like this vegan curry and the, and that was really good, really good. And there were so many options. There's something for the kids, something for everyone there.
They really did last year, the back end of last year, they kind of upped their plant-based options. I think now everywhere they sell food, every restaurant, every quick service and every place you can get a snack, there is always a plant-based option. Had you noticed the difference last time you went to previous visits?
Yeah, the previous times I had, you were basically just offered pasta most of the time.
Chips.
It was either pasta or salad or chips. But particularly with the breakfast options, I went, not last time, the time before, had one of the character breakfasts at Ohana, the one with Lilo and Stitch, and they went above and beyond. They made me like a tofu scramble. They did this breakfast dish, which sounds weird. It's almost like sweet and sour vegetables at breakfast time, but it worked. Oh, like, it sounds a bit odd, but it was about 10-11 o'clock, so technically it was a bit more brunch based. But yeah, now they have the just egg, they have a lot of the sausages, and they've got the Impossible Burgers, which are the best things I've ever had.
They're
and I
amazing.
Wish you could get them in England. So,
and they also, when I went to last time, when it was the Food and Wine Festival, they had the Impossible Meatballs.
Yes,
and I think they had an Impossible Shepherd's Pie as well.
Yes,
so nice.
I did get to try them. They were also very good. There's actually, oh no, I've just remembered my favorite food place. Oh, I missed
Go on,
it
you
off.
Can tell us.
It was the Docking Bay 7 at Hollywood Studios, the Star Wars themed one, because that, you reminded me there with the meatballs. They've got this incredible thing, it's the Impossible Meatballs with the hummus and like this salad vegetable thing, and it was one of the best things I had. I kept going there repeatedly. Again, you could get like the meal with your dining plan, so they did this bright blue cocktail, which was great fun. But they had quite a lot of options there. And it was something that I didn't even really see. It was kind of hidden away. And it was just from following Instagram accounts. There was one about vegan dining at Disney that I found it. And it was great. As I say, I think I must have had about two or three different meals there.
There's so much food, though, when you're only there for 10 days. You go, but I want to eat everything.
Yep.
Can I have nine meals in a day? Is that all right? And by the way, if you're wondering, it is all right. You can have nine meals. I'm going to let you have a snack as well. Have you got a favourite snack?
As
soon as you were on the dining plan, RIP, the time being. Your favourite snack?
The Mickey pretzels. I'm old school. I love those. Because I can't have the cheese now, but at the time I was able to have the cheese. But there was, it wasn't my favourite, but just for the sheer Instagram factor, was getting the Mickey-shaped cinnamon bun from the Starbucks in Animal Kingdom. It was huge.
Massive.
It was the size of my head, but it was amazing. It was really, really good. But it has to be the Mickey pretzels. They're like the iconic snack for me.
Let's talk favourite attraction then.
Favourite attraction. You can tell I like everything, can't you?
This time, one. No,
one.
There's no top three, squeezing in a fourth, only one.
I'm going to say Flight of Passage. There are several that I love, but obviously that's the only one that I can go on in Florida. So for the Florida trip I did last time, Flight of Passage, that is my reasoning. The one in Pandora at Animal Kingdom.
And what is it about that attraction that you love?
It's just all-encompassing. Just like the whole sensory attraction. And the thing is, everybody laughs at the intro that you have to go through with the really awkward scripting and the voiceover that you're waiting for. And that kind of is part of the charm now that it's so bad. But once you're in
and
actually...
Yeah, your arms a
bit. Yeah. It's like you could not be more wooden if you tried. When you're actually on the ride, it's amazing. And the smells and the scents. And I've seen a couple of companies that say that they sell candles that smell like the water spray that is sent to you. And it's like, if I could bottle that, I would be a very happy person. But because I was there as a single rider, you often got to skip quite a lot of the line, which meant I went on it several times. I managed to get the fast passes, but I did get to go on several other times as well.
It's really strange at the moment because obviously they've got really limited capacity. The queue times for that are like 5-10 minutes.
Oh.
Like during the day. And it's bizarre to see that. Splash Mountain, people are waiting hours for it before they close it down. But yeah, Flight of Passage, which usually, you know, you're hitting 2 or 3 hours. practically a walk-on.
I think the longest I ever waited for it, it was weird because it said on the sign outside it was like 120 minutes, but I went in and it must have been less than half an hour. So
yeah,
I don't
sometimes
know
it can.
Whether or not it had gone wrong or whether or not they were just over-exaggerating it. And I did get to skip quite a bit of the line being a single rider. But again, it was nowhere near the time that was advertised outside. So I do sometimes think if you can't see people outside of it, like queuing in the open air, it's not going to be as long as it says it is my usual advice from what I found.
We need to talk about what you did before the Christmas party, because I should have learned and did what you did. And we'll chat some more in a moment. Jen is our guest on the podcast this week. Going to do a quick news roundup. We haven't done a news roundup for about a month now that the Walt Disney World parks are all open. There's a few things, few bits of news that have come out, including a slight change in policy when it comes to eating or drinking and removing your face covering. If you go into any of the parks in Disney Springs, you have to have a face covering on at all times. The only exception is this: if you're in one of the relaxation zones that they've got in the parks, there's about three in each of the parks, or if you're eating or drinking. Now, the policy has changed that you have to be stationary to eat or drink to remove your mask. I think this is a case of people, you know, they've got a bottle of water in their hand, so they're taking their face mask off and they're walking around without a face covering just because they're saying, well, I'm drinking water. If you want to drink a water, you need to stand at a table or sit, take your mask off, drink. Don't walk around with it off. That's one of the big policy changes that has happened. Also, there's some news coming from Epcot, which opened its doors a couple of weeks ago. It's one of the last theme parks to open in Walt Disney World. And over in the preview center, where it has been telling us about the big changes that are going to be coming to Walt Disney World at Epcot over the next few years, they've changed some of the films. So Spaceship Earth, that's the attraction that's inside the big ball, just in case you're not sure, was supposed to have a bit of a makeover and a bit of an upgrade. That's not happening at the moment. And also disappeared is the new Mary Poppins attraction, which was supposed to be happening in the UK Pavilion. Now, I think I predicted a few months ago that when Disney World reopens, they're going to have to cut budget somewhere. And some of the things that are going to be cut are the things they have not started on, including the Mary Poppins attraction. They've not even announced what that attraction is going to be. And it looks like that attraction isn't going to be happening for the time being, if maybe ever. We may never see Cherry Tree Lane at Epcot. Also, a few other things outside Epcot that aren't coming back. Primeval World over at Animal Kingdom, which is one of my favourite attractions over in Dino Land. I know it's just a basic funfair attraction that goes up and down like a roller coaster and spins you around. That's been open and closed for about a year now. It's had all sorts of problems. That's not reopening. Stitch's Great Escape over at Magic Kingdom. Again, that's been closed for ages. We know that's not going to reopen. That's not reopening. The big shock over at Animal Kingdom, Rivers of Light isn't coming back. But hopefully there will be a good replacement for that eventually. Meanwhile, one final story from around the corner, up the road, wherever it is, at Universal Studios. They have cancelled this year's Halloween Horror Nights. Obviously, Disney's not having their not-so-scary parties. And what would have been the 30th Halloween Horror Nights are cancelled, so not happening this year. Don't forget, you can keep up with all the news coming from Walt Disney World. Follow us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's where we are. Give us a like, give us a follow. And if you want to be a podcast guest like Jen, give me a shout. So, Jen, let's talk about accommodation. Have you got a favourite place to stay? It doesn't have to be at Disney, but it can be a Disney resort or maybe somewhere else.
When I've been before, I've only ever stayed at the All-Star Resorts. Right. One of the best hotels I stayed in was the Cabana Bay at Universal. That was the one I did the trip before last, because it had like all the Lazy River and everything, and you had the view of the Volcano Bay Park. And just the theming of it was all done around like the Atomic and the 50s styling. But I stayed at All Star Sports last time when I went by myself, and I loved it. Like, it was exactly what I needed. It was really close for the buses, and because it was All Star Sports, it was always the first pickup and the first drop off of all of them. Because you've got All Star Sports, music, and movies. Mm-hmm. Sports, you always get picked up first, so the buses were always empty. And it meant you had the shortest bus journey back as well. And it was just great for me. It was close to the parks. Also, I took advantage of the, I'm not sure if they still will do it after COVID, but there was the mouse keeping option where I opted out of the housekeeping. And I think I got $10 a night. So I ended up getting about $100 to spend on a gift card, which was worth it when it was just me. And if you needed towels or anything, you could just phone them and they would bring them to the room.
So from all the times you've been, is there anything that was at Disney World that they've now got rid of? Anything that's been retired that you really miss?
only at Disneyland Paris, the Rock and Roller Coaster, that is the main one for me. Yeah. I know that they're changing that at the moment, but that's always been a favourite of mine.
It's going to be Iron Man, is it? They're changing that one too?
I think so. It's going to be one of like the Avengers, one of the Marvel ones, because I know they've just done up one of the hotels. It used to be the New York Hotel, and it's now all Marvel and Avengers themed. I have a couple of friends that are going to be very excited about. But on the opposite end of the scale, when I went to Florida, I went on something finally for the first time, Haunted Mansion. Is it because there's Phantom Manor? Is it Phantom Manor in Paris?
Phantom Manor in Haunted Paris, Mansion? Yeah.
I had never gone on it, which despite being very alternative, vaguely goth looking, I'd always been too scared because I hate haunted houses. I hate anything like that. And I was stood looking at it at the very merry Christmas party. And one of the cast members came up and went, "You've been stood there looking at this. I've seen you a couple of times. Like, have you been on it?" So I said, "No." And they said, "Look at you, you'd love it," sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, but I'm a bit scared." And they said, "At the end of the day, it's a children's ride." And that was all I needed to make me actually go and do it. And I loved it and went on it four times.
There's always that fear with like haunted houses and things. You go, "Oh, are people going to jump out at me? Are they going to be like live actors?" It's nothing like that. In case you're wondering and listening, going, "Oh, yeah, it's too scary." Nah.
I always assumed it would be. That was my fear because I'd been on like these haunted houses at other places where, as you say, there are actors or people getting in your face. But there's me just sat there like dancing away to all the songs, having a lovely time in the ride pictures, which was quite entertaining. But so now I need to go and do the one in Paris because I'd avoided it for so long. So that's going to end up being my new thing of going, "I'm going to go and do it. I've been brave."
Tick that one off. Anywhere else in Orlando that you like to go? You mentioned you've been to Universal.
One of my favourite days of the last trip, actually, I know it's a Disney thing, but it was, I went to Typhoon Lagoon because I knew I was going to the Christmas party. I spent the day at Typhoon Lagoon and I paid a little bit extra. I think it was about $30 to get like the umbrella and the seats. And it was in like a private roped off area and it happened to be right next to the water. So it felt like you were at the beach because I knew I was going to have such a busy evening at the Christmas party. Yeah. It was actually really nice just to chill out and not do anything. And you could use your the quick service dining plan, you could use the credits. So I'd get like the iced chai latte, go on the lazy river. And it was really nice to just not do anything. As odd as that sounds, because I'm not a sun worshipper. So I had to get the umbrella so that I could sit in the shade. But everything, again, everything is taken care of for you. You just don't have to think about anything. Like, it's just get the bus, get your snacks, get your food. And it was great. And it was actually really relaxing. I wouldn't want to do a beach holiday somewhere, but having a day or two at Typhoon Lagoon and just chilling out was great. I didn't go on any of the rides or the slides or anything. It was just to have the beach experience, really.
Yeah. I think as well, when you know you're going to one of the parties that go on to like, well, they kind of say they finish at midnight, but usually it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, so it's like half one you get back to your hotel. You did the right thing, because if I remember that night, I think we wanted to stay till the very end, but we're like, "I'm just so tired," because we'd done something during the day and you're like, "We've made a mistake.
It's a long day.
You cannot do a 16-hour day at Disney every day for 2 weeks. You can't do it.
Otherwise you need another holiday at the end of it to get over it. Disney Springs is always fun as well. That's another place if you've got like the dietary requirements and vegan options is the Erin McKenna Bakery. That's always a highlight for me because everything there is vegan and gluten-free. And I went on my birthday and they made me a milkshake, which involved taking a cupcake, slicing the top of the icing off, blending the rest of the cake in the milkshake, and then putting the icing from the cupcake on top of it. It was this birthday cupcake milkshake. And it was the sweetest thing I've ever had, but it was amazing. Like, who needs a birthday cake when you can have that? It was so good.
It's probably like 2 days worth of calories in that one drink.
Oh, it was worth it. It was
holiday, though,
calories
it?
Don't exist at Disney. That's
they
the thing.
They don't count on holidays, and they definitely don't count on Disney. Because you do. I always say, yeah, but I'm doing so much walking.
Yeah.
It's going to burn you off. That's my excuse.
That's always my logic. And no complaints so far.
So when do you think you'll be back?
I had been hoping to go again this year. Because normally when I go to Disneyland Paris, we go for Halloween. Because what we found, this is like my, I don't know if it'll be the same because of COVID, is we tend to go at the end of September, when the summer deal is finished. So I think previous years it's been like Lion King. And before the Halloween stuff officially starts, we were getting these really cheap deals. And they're slowly putting the Halloween decorations up over the duration of you being there. So you're getting to see it all. Perhaps you don't see the characters in their outfits, but you're getting to see all of the decorations. So that was a plan, was to go this year. But now we're not so sure, because if there's no fireworks and there's none of the usual shows and not meeting them, it's just whether or not it's going to be worth it. I think for Florida, it'll probably be another couple of years before I go, just because of everything that's happening with COVID, because of the amount of cases that are happening there. So it'll more than likely be Disneyland Paris that I go to again next, but that would probably be next year at the earliest, I'd have thought.
It's strange, because a lot of people since we've started doing this podcast, they've always said, oh, my next trip will be for the 50th, which is next year. Mm-hmm. But now a lot of people are still going, I'm not really sure. I don't want to commit to pay for something for next year that still, even if it happens, might not be the same experience that I would normally get.
I think that's the thing, is that Disneyland Paris is still quite pricey compared to, like, I mean, I got a really good deal when I did Florida, and particularly with the flights as well, I got an absolute steal for them. So it ended up not actually being that much more. That was 10 days in Florida versus the 5 days we do at Disneyland Paris. But it kind of feels less of a risk because you're just getting the Eurostar and it's not 9 or 10 hours on a plane. And again, if it all goes wrong, you can just go and get on a train and go walk around Paris for a bit. But it depends. I think I'm very cautious anyway, particularly when it comes to health and things like that. So it's just going to be a case of weighing it up, because I've seen the pictures and there's everyone walking around in their masks and stuff. And I just don't think it would be the same for me personally.
It's kind of somewhere you want to go to escape the real world. But when you've got people walking around in masks, that real world is kind of like filtrated through. And it's, what you mean. It's just not quite the same.
It would be marking the time of it. Again, you're going to look back at these pictures and see the masks, and it's a moment in time and remembering it. And when else is that going to happen ever again?
Yeah, that castle selfie that you can't really see your face because it's covered.
And again, with being a bit goth, it kind of goes with the aesthetic. But I want it to be escapism. I want it to be something separate, and you wouldn't want it to be in jeopardy. And I really feel for everybody that had plans for Halloween and Christmas this year, because I know it must be gutting if they've been looking forward to it, and particularly if you've got kids. I'm just a childless millennial, and it would be me that would be disappointed, let alone if you've got to tell the kids. It'll be worth it in the end when you do get to go, is the way that I look at it. It's kind of go, okay, you've got more time to get excited and plan what you'll do.
That's it.
I think it'll just be interesting to see if they bring dining plans back.
Yeah, I think that's good. Well, it's on hold, isn't it? They say till next September.
I did enjoy the quick service one. It was worth it for me getting that, because it just made life so much easier.
Yeah, quick service is good. I think the normal table service is a bit of a push, because you're booking restaurants every day. So you kind of then stuck to that schedule of eating, and it's a lot of food. But I think the quick service, I think, is really good, especially if it's free.
That was the thing. I think you mentioned that to me at the time, that having the table service, it did take so much time out of your day of going, right, we're going to be here at this time, and then it's going to be however many courses. I mean, I did do a couple of the character ones, which weren't included in my quick service. It was just that I used the voucher that I got from the mousekeeping to put towards it, so that was definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
But again, I'm the sort of person that I would always choose to have the breakfast, because particularly when you can book early and then go in early, it makes more sense, because you're then getting more time in the parks as well.
Maybe next time you go in a couple of years, maybe I'll be there at the same time, and maybe we can meet next time.
Sync diaries of where are we going to be and when, and then try and make it happen. I think when we were at the Very Merry Christmas Party, it's because I was queuing up to meet Jack and Sally, and I think you'd gone out to do something else, or we're waiting at another ride. Because I went in, and when they first arrived, they said it was going to be like a 2-hour wait, and I was like, no, I'm not going to waste most of the party doing that. And I went back at about 10:30, 11:00, and it was empty. There was no queue at all, so it was well worth going back a bit later.
Well, lovely talking to you and sharing those Walt Disney World memories. And Jen, have a magical day.
Thank you.
Don't forget, if you'd like to be a podcast guest like Jen, then just get in touch. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Follow all the socials. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a retweet, tell your friends. And if you do want to come on and chat to Walt Disney World one week, then just send me a DM and we'll get you on. Andy's top tip of the week this week is another money-saving top tip. It's not a food-related one. We've done quite a few food-related ones over the last few weeks, so you can go back and listen to the last couple of episodes if you want to get some food money-saving tips. This week is all about pin trading. Now, I'm not a pin trader. I don't actually know anybody who is a pin trader, but if you want to save money when it comes to pin trading at Walt Disney World, the secret is buy your pins before you go from eBay. Because what do they sell at the park? So people buy, what, $8, $9 to buy a little badge in the parks, the pins that people go pin trading. You're buying that, and then you're going up to a cast member or going to a shop, and then you're swapping it for another one. Why don't you spend like a pound or two and buy some like old ones on eBay, take them on holiday with you, and then pin trade with the ones you got off eBay for the new ones of the cast members? So you're saving yourself a few dollars. Yeah. Any top tips, whether it comes to money saving or anything to do with Walt Disney World, do give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Don't forget, we have a brand new episode coming out every Friday. So hit that subscribe button. Next week, we've got a top 5 special coming your way. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and catch you with that next Friday, our next episode. And until then, please stand clear of the doors. In fact, stand clear of people at least 6 foot and wear a face covering and wash your hands as well.